Okay. Let's grab our Bibles this morning and open to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 this morning. Won't be long, but I have a message concerning the glorious incarnation and all that our precious Lord Jesus has done for us and what we're celebrating these days. Glory to God. Everything surrounding the incarnation of the Son of God was supernatural. From the divine pregnancy of a virgin to the angels rejoicing and celebrating his birth, everything surrounding his birth was supernatural. I'm so glad we serve a supernatural God. I'm so glad that he is able to take care of the least and the greatest of my problems in my life. Thank you. And today I want to speak to you briefly on the day spring from on high. The day spring from on high. Look with me in Luke chapter 1. Go to verse 67. You know the setting here. Elizabeth is pregnant with John Baptist. And he's the forerunner for the Lord Jesus. Mary is pregnant with the Son of God. And the father of Zacharias is his name. Is the father. He is the physical father of John Baptist. And he breaks out into an incredible prophecy here. And look with me in verse 67. And remain seated. Luke 1, verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." Glory to God. Verse 79. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Oh, glory. I want to speak to you on the day spring from on high. Lord in heaven, how we thank you today for your table. Lord, what a precious time to commemorate your death, burial, and resurrection with the Lord's table. And Lord, as we celebrate your birth, your glorious first advent, your coming into this world to become the Lamb of God and to die for the sins of the world, we just give you thanks today, oh God. We thank you for loving us enough to go through with it. And we thank you for the prophecy here of Zacharias, the father of John Baptist, where he spoke of the reason and purposes for your coming. And, oh, Lord, we thank you that you came to save us from our sins. And we thank you that you do it real well. Lord, we love you today. We ask you to bless your word as we look at this message, the day spring from on high. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, just as the dawn is ushered in by the singing of the birds, so too was the rising of the Son of Righteousness, heralded by heavenly songs. Gabriel sweetly sang to Mary of his divine conception. Mary, in turn, had played a glorious harp of 10 strings to her cousin Elizabeth. The wise men, together with the angels, surrounded his cradle with heavenly music. Simeon and Anna sweetly proclaimed that this little baby was indeed God's salvation to the world. And finally, we have here Zechariah's hymn of inspiration called "He Sings of the Day Spring from on High." Three things he points out here in verses 78 and 79. First, we'll see the deep darkness. Then we'll look at the dawning day. And finally, we'll see the divine directing. First, let us examine the deep darkness. Look with me in verse 78. Notice the deep darkness. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now notice here in verse 79 that the Bible says that we sit in darkness. Amen? We have a world full of spiritual darkness. Jesus said, light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than the light. Oh, it's a deep darkness. He says it's the shadow of death. It's a spiritual death. What a deplorable state we have described for us here in verse 79. He says it's darkness. And they sit in darkness. The picture presented here is one of a large group of travelers staked down for the night, huddled together in the dark, and afraid to move for fear of pitfalls, wild beasts, and enemies. And so, signed for the day and compelled to be inactive till it comes. This is a picture of humanity apart from Jesus Christ. A darkness so intense, so tragic, and so deep that it ultimately produces eternal darkness. Eternal darkness, that's a scary thought. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and hold your place in Luke's gospel. We'll be coming back. In Ephesians chapter 6, we learn of this darkness and the author of it. In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse number 11. Speaking of this darkness that is upon the world today, Paul warns the believer to put on the whole armor of God, verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Paul says you better put on the armor of God because we're living in a world full of darkness. And there are spiritual rulers of this darkness, and that's a demonic host of the devil. And we wrestle against them as God's people. Because the devil is our enemy, because he is the enemy of our Lord. This darkness is deep. This darkness is thick. This darkness is felt at times. Go with me to Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter number 1. Speaking of this darkness again, look with me at verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. I'm so glad that I've been saved from the darkness. Amen? Verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us, Christians, meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory to God. We were under the power of darkness, but now we're in the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been delivered from the deep darkness if we know Jesus Christ. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians, flip over a page, you'll be there. In 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 5. Oh, how I love these verses. That shows that we have come out of darkness, amen? And we are in his light. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk, are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Glory to God. Ye are not of darkness, verse 5 says. We are of the light, verse 5 says. We are children of the light, children of the day, none of the night. None of darkness. Oh, I'm so glad he's delivered us from that darkness. Beloved, it's a threefold darkness. First, it's the darkness of ignorance. Listen, most people in the world today have heard about Jesus Christ, But yet they remain ignorant, that is, unknowing about their personal need for him to deliver them from their darkness. Secondly, it's a darkness of impurity, uncleanness, pornography, sexual perversion, adultery. It's all around us, in this world. It's a darkness of impurity. And thirdly, it's a darkness of sorrow. Yes, Job said, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's a darkness of sorrow. It's a darkness of sadness. It's a darkness of death. Listen, in 1912, on a cold, dark night, five iceberg warnings were telegraphed to the ill-fated Titanic. After hearing the fifth warning, the Titanic's radio operator wired back, "Shut up, I'm busy. I can't see anything through this darkness." These were his words. "I can't see anything through this darkness." 25 minutes later, the great Titanic was sinking. In all, 1,515 people lost their lives that fateful night. Why? It wasn't because of the iceberg. It was because of the darkness. It was because of the darkness. They couldn't see where they were going. Oh, it's a deep darkness. But secondly, this morning, let us behold the dawning day. The dawning day. Back in our text in Luke chapter 1, I see a dawning day. Look at verse 78. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness." To give light to them that sit in dark. I see a dawning day. Amen. Isaiah said, "A great light has risen upon us." Notice the word day spring in verse 78. Day spring is the old English word for sunrising. Sunrising. See, Malachi. Go with me to Malachi chapter 4. Just before Matthew chapter 1. It's the final chapter of the Old Testament. And it's a prophecy of the first advent. And watch what the prophet Malachi says concerning the coming of the Messiah in Malachi chapter 4. Look at verse number 2. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son..." Notice that, S-U-N. Oh, I love that. "The Son of Righteousness arise." He's talking about a day spring. Amen? He's talking about a sun rising. But this is no ordinary sun. You know that sun, that big orange ball, that yellow ball in the sky? That's a picture of Jesus, amen? That is a picture of Jesus. And every day it comes up, you're looking at a symbolic representation of the Son of God. Verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Glory to God. Verse 4, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments," speaking to the Jews. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." The day of the Lord. I see a dawning day. Amen. In verse 79, I see a dawning day. Look at that. "To give light to them that sit in darkness." I'm so glad we're in the gospel day. I'm so glad we're in the day of grace. I'm so glad we're in the day of salvation to all peoples of the world. Oh, glory to God for this dawning day. Listen now, this dawning day, three things about it. First, this dawning day, this day spring from on high, this great light is a person. He is a person, a divine person whose name is Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not a system. It's not a religion. It's not a program. This dawning day is a person. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. Hold your place in Luke. Isaiah chapter 9 clearly prophesies of this dawning day, this divine personage. He says in Isaiah chapter 9, look with me at verse number 2. "The people that walked in darkness have seen," this is a prophecy, 700 years before it happened, "have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." It's a dawning day. There's light shining. I love it. It dispels the darkness. Glory to God. this dawning day is a person. And he prophesies here that these people would see it. These Jewish people, by the way, in Israel, because in verse 1 he tells you where it would occur. Glory to God in the land of Israel. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Hold your place in Luke and go to Acts chapter 9. Speaking of this great dawning light, this great day, spring from on high. Watch what Paul says. Isaiah chapter 9. Look with me at verse number 2. In Acts 9 and verse 2. It's speaking about Paul. And it says, and verse 1, and Saul, who became Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and heard desired of him, led us to Damascus, that's in Syria, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, yes, there were Christians in Syria at this time. The gospel had reached Damascus. Whether they were men or women, they might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Glory to God. I love the origin of this light. From heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou? He's talking to the light. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now notice that the light is identified by name in verse 5. He's a person. Amen? He's a person, a divine person. He's identified. Over and over and over, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. I am so glad for that dawning day. But secondly, not only this dawning day is a person, secondly, notice its origin. Back in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Notice his origin is from on high. Glory to God. He came down from above. He said, I am of heaven. I am heavenly. He says, you're of the earth, earthly. He says, I am the Son of God from heaven. Oh, I'm so glad. David said, Lord, listen, the Son of Righteousness has descended from heaven. This holy light comes from afar off, even from the land of eternal day, and was before he appeared. He was. Amen. Glory to God. His origin was from heaven. And he brings all those there who will trust him. Thirdly, speaking of this dawning day, not only is it a person, not only is his origin from heaven, but thirdly, it was a heavenly visitation. Verse 78 says, the day, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Hath visited us. Look, notice the wording here. God visited us. Oh, I love it. We couldn't get to him, so he came to us. Amen. It was a heavenly visitation. David said, Lord, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and that thou visitest him? Oh, glory to God. But God visited us. Look at verse 67. Speaking of this divine visitation, verse 67 says, And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised us up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Zechariah says, He has visited us. It's the dawning day. Glory to God. Long ago, an artist painted a magnificent canvas of a winter twilight. The trees were heavily laden with snow in a dreary, dark house, lonely and desolate in the midst of the howling storm. It was a sad and gloomy picture until, with just a stroke of yellow paint, the artist put a light in one window of that little cottage. The effect was magical. The entire scene was transformed into a vision of comfort and cheer. The birth of Jesus Christ was just such a light shining in the darkness of this world. Amen. His light brings it all into focus. He brings a magnificent, magical beauty to the darkness of this world. It's a shining light. All glory to God. We've seen the deep darkness. We've seen the dawning day. But thirdly and finally, let us observe the divine directing. I like this. The divine directing in Luke chapter 1. Look with me at verse 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, it doesn't get any better than this, folks. This divine directing is glorious. Because, look what he says, to guide our feet into the way of peace. I don't know about you, but I had no peace in my life until October 3rd, 1986, when I met this glorious light. And he began to guide and direct my steps. Amen? I like that. My feet into the way of peace. He brings us into a way, a lifestyle of peace. He gives us His peace. He personally bestows it. And He is our peace. Don't worry about that. But I'm so thankful this morning. Devil doesn't like it that He brings us into peace. Amen. Glory to God. He is our peace. Beloved, here's the most precious truth revealed. That is, that this glorious day spring from on high actually stoops to the office of becoming a personal guide and director to each individual soul that will receive His light. What a wonder to think that this same holy light that guided the wise men to the manger also desires to be the special personal director of every one of His followers as a light unto His feet and a lamp unto His path. And admire, people, what it is that He guides us into in verse 79, into the way of peace. There is only one way of peace, and that is by following His holy beams of light and being directed by His golden candlestick of righteousness, His Holy Spirit. Amen? And oh, what a peace He brings. Peace. There is no peace saved by God to the wicked, but there is blessed, glorious peace to those who follow Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah said, and He gives His peace to His followers. Isaiah chapter 66. Go with me to Isaiah, the great prophet, in chapter 66, which we know is a prophecy of the second advent. But look what he says here in Isaiah 66 in verse number 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees. Speaking of Jerusalem, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants, and His indignation toward His enemies. I will extend peace to her like a river. Peace like a river. Oh, I love that song we sing. Peace, peace, marvelous peace. Glory to God for that peace that He brings to our lives. Oh, what a Savior we serve. His hand of divine directing us into the way of peace. He said, my peace leave I with thee. Not as the world giveth, give I unto thee. My peace give I unto thee. And He said, no man taketh my peace from thee. I love it. Biology professor Dr. Gordon Alexander of Princeton University once described the tiny little glowworm as follows, and I quote, the glowworm is a creature which takes a step so small that it can barely be measured. It moves across fields after midnight, slowly but surely. There is only enough glow in it to take one tiny little step at a time. And so as it moves forward, it moves always in the light. Beloved, I believe that God made the glowworm to give us a spiritual lesson. One step in the light, next step in the light, next step in the light. Amen. There's only enough light for our next step. We don't need to know about 10 years from now. We don't even need to know about 10 days from now. We just need enough to know, this is my next step. My Lord is directing my feet into the way of peace and guiding me by His light. I'm a glowworm for Jesus. Amen. I love it. The day spring from on high, He hath visited us. Glory to God. Let's go back to our text and read in Luke chapter 1, and we'll be finished. In Luke chapter 1, look with me at verse 77. He says, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. Something I forgot to throw in there. The tender mercy of our God is what brings it. whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a blessing to know Him, to walk with Him, to be led by Him. Amen? To love Him and honor Him in our lives. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank You this morning for the day spring from on high. Lord, how we thank You that He was willing to become one of us to show us what You're all about. Lord, how we thank You for that precious Lord Jesus whom we celebrate this Christmas season. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You that You have brought such a peace into our lives. And it's by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank You that if He had never come, we'd never have had this blessed peace. It's divine. Its origin is from above. Lord, I'm so thankful today for the precious gift of salvation that verse 77 speaks of. And then, Lord God, I'm so thankful that the day spring, capital D, came and visited His people. And Lord, I'm so thankful that even today, 2,000 years later, precious souls are coming to know this day spring. And Lord, when we stop and ponder that thought, today, 2,000 years later, precious souls are coming out of darkness and into the light of this day spring. Lord, how we thank You for the gospel. Oh, Lord, if You had not visited us, if You had not come the first time, if You had not provided salvation, we'd all be lost, eternally so, and without hope. Oh, thank You, Lord, for loving us enough, the likes of us, to come, not only to live for us, but to die for us. Oh, Lord, we love You today. We thank You for who You are. We thank You that we understand what Christmas is really all about. Oh, Lord, it's amazing to us that the multitudes that You spoke of, Lord Jesus, that are on the broad road that leads to destruction, they're all around us, Lord. We can reach out and touch them. They're everywhere. And how few it seems, Lord, in these last days, how few there be on that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, Lord, we thank You that we're part of that few, that remnant that have been saved, redeemed, justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. How we thank You, Lord. Lord, I don't care if I don't have two nickels to rub together. I've got Jesus, and that's all I need. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that we know You. Thank You that we know the truth. Thank You, Lord, that soon and very soon we're going to see the King. Thank You, Lord, that that trumpet will blow. We will go up. We will be apostled, caught away, raptured out of this sin-sick world. Lord, we look forward to that blessed day, and we pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly, as Your word instructs us to pray for Your coming. All of the prophecies will be fulfilled, Lord, and we believe very, very shortly. Lord, we thank You for watching over Israel, which was mentioned in our text. You came to Israel. You came to the, You mentioned the oath that You swear to Abraham, that You would fulfill it, and You will. We thank You for that, Lord. And we thank You that You're watching over the physical seed of Abraham today, because they will be regenerated nationally. No, Lord, we just thank You for all these glorious truths. Lord, You have imparted so much knowledge to us. You have revealed so many truths to us, Lord. It's just mind-boggling. But we thank You, Lord, that we are accountable to that knowledge and that truth, and we are responsible to live according to it. So, Lord, help us to shine as glowworms for Jesus in this world, Lord, wherever we go. Help us to be Your lights to the lost who sit in darkness, that they might come to know the day spring from on high. We thank You for it, Lord, and we praise You in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people said, Amen. Amen.
Did everything fall? All the drinks and everything?
Yeah.
Oh.
I wasn't thinking I should have left that there. No problem.
That's right. All obstacles have to fall in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's so funny you go so into the message.
Yeah, because You know, a gal I went to Bible college with, she went with the group from First Bible to Africa, to Zambia, Brother Barnes, and they let her teach a Sunday school class for the tribe there. And she said she wasn't even touching the pulpit. And she said in the middle of her teaching, the pulpit went, whoo! It flew. And landed down. It landed down on the ground.
Spirits.
The guys came over, picked it up, and Bobby Bonner, they prayed, and it didn't happen again. She said, Brother Bob, it was the devil just knocked the pulpit over. You know?
Lord. Well, you should subtitle that message, Glowworms for Jesus. You want to know something amazing? Just as you said the word worm, I was glancing down at Isaiah 66, and it said, where their worm dieth not. And the Holy Spirit said,
wow.
That's the difference. Your glowworms and their worms.
Oh, that's a great illustration.
I was yelled out in the message.
That's funny.
I restrained myself.
I love it.
And the other thing is that word dayspring. For some reason, I never thought about it much, but I always thought it meant something to do with water, like some kind of day spring.
Yeah, spring, like water.
I'm so glad you explained that. Yeah. It's like the day springing up, like the sun.
Powerful.
That was good.